Hey guys, this is Steve. I want to let you know today's podcast is going to be a great one. Got my guest on here, Jeremy Padgett. He is the sidekick and executive producer for the Mixed Morning Show. We're going to talk about vacations. That's right, vacations. And to tie it all together, at the very end of the podcast, I'm going to tell you how to win 3 VIP pairs of tickets to see the new vacation movie. That's right, the new vacation movie. Rusty Griswold, played by Ed Helms, is the grown-up son of Clark and Ellen Griswold, played by Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo. He takes his wife, Christina Applegate, and sons on a cross-country road trip from Chicago to America's favorite fun park, Wally World. That's right, the Wally World we all know and remember. So listen at the very end of the podcast, and I'll tell you how you could win a pair of VIP tickets to go see the new vacation.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Aloha, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. I am sitting here. It is such a pleasure to have this man on the show today. We've been trying to get him on the show for a while. We're live on Periscope. For people, when you hear this, you won't be, but we are live now on Periscope.
It already happened.
Jeremy and I started this podcast together years ago. We were both working at a radio station. He still is. Jeremy is a morning sidekick and producer, executive producer at Mix 100 on the Dom in the Morning.
Yeah, it's Dom in the Morning with Emily and Jeremy. If you're in Denver, check it out. Mix 100.3 or get our app, Mix 100. Denver, I think, is the app, and you can stream us and listen to us.
Right. So all of my listeners on here and all the guys that will get this on Twitter, all 96,000 of you.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that's a lot. And for the people on Periscope, Jeremy is who I listen to in the morning. This is the show that I enjoy because I get up and I text him and say, oh, my God.
You're so vibrant and energetic this morning.
What is going on this morning?
Oh, you sound fabulous.
Yeah, so you guys check out that show. But here's the background on this show. We were both working at the radio station and decided we want to do something that was new and edgy because we were both on air and you're kind of like, you can't say this.
Yeah, you're restrained. Yeah.
So we just thought, you know, podcasting is new. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And we called it Remasculate because both of us are very much into the pussification of America.
Yeah, yeah. Guy, everything's been wussified. Like, our whole thing that I think that we kind of started building this off of is you'd never see the men storming the beaches of Normandy in their skinny jeans. You'd never, ever see that. Like, what happened to being a man?
Right.
A man's man and being a, you know, just a guy.
Right.
So we started Remasculate, which was, you know, rebranding manhood.
Yeah, and
basically.
And you had just, or actually, you were about to have a son.
Right.
At that time, you were about to have a son. So we were talking about how do you raise a son in this day and age. Like, all the commercials make the dad look like an idiot, and the mom is the brilliant one. And so we were just trying to figure out how can we do this to make it better for your son, basically.
Right, there you go.
It got a little louder. Is that better?
That's really nice. You're fiddling with some knobs.
Yeah, fiddling with some knobs. So, anyway, that's how I got started. And originally it was Mudflap and Cornboy,
which was kind of a nickname I had on the radio. But now we're here.
We're here.
I'm a special guest.
So now that you have a son, he's 4 now?
Oh, yeah, 4. He'll be 4 here next week, actually. Friday. Holy crap, the 10th.
See, so this podcast really has been going for 4 years. Because I posted one of the original ones a while back on a Throwback Thursday. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm about to have a kid.
Yeah.
So we're trying to, you know, trying to do this. And you and I have talked about possibly turning this into a TV show.
Yes, we have.
And matter of fact, I had a text earlier. I'll show you from, you were going to be a guest. Mm-hmm. And Colin, my producer friend that owns a production company, he's like, we got to get together and
talk about it, bro. Yeah, bro.
So we got it. We got to work on that. But let's start off by, now I was going to say, it's been 4 years. What have you learned from your son? Or what have you taught
me on the spot, man?
What have you?
I'll tell you right off the bat. You need some more comfortable chairs down here.
We have
this
talked about
this. Is horrible.
We want to get. Well, but it starts making some freaking money.
Yeah. Let's see here. So what was it? What have I learned?
What
from
have
my
you learned
son?
From your son? Or what has he taught you that you needed to go? No, that's not the man way.
I will tell you one thing that we kind of talked about on the air the other day is he doesn't like anything outdoorsy, which is hard for me to. Take like he does not like sports. I went out and bought him a soccer ball, a baseball, a basketball, like and a bike. I put the training wheels on it. I got him a little helmet. He would rather be inside putting puzzles together. Like, and it drives me nuts. I try to get him outside. I'm like, come on, little man. We got to go play some sports. You know, this is what boys do. And he's like, eh, let's go put a puzzle together.
Well, he's four. It might get better.
You got to start him young, I think, right?
Now, when did your dad start you? Because I know you're an outdoorsy guy. You like to shoot and fish. And
sure.
So this is the same thing with me. I love fishing. That is one of my weaknesses.
Yeah. I just got back last weekend from doing some fishing. I don't know. I feel like I was just always raised with that. Growing up, I can't really put my finger on an age, but I feel like four, you know, he's out and about. He should be outside playing with soccer balls.
But where do you hear this? Oh, it's hot, but it's hot.
Yes! Like, he'll do that. Like, oh, it's too hot outside.
It's hot.
And he knows how to work Netflix now, so it's like, I'm going to go inside and play on Netflix.
Now, what is your take on that? Is that a good or bad thing that kids are turning to electronics so early?
They are. It's impressive that he knows how to get onto the iPad and turn it on and put the password in and get onto Netflix and pick what he wants to watch. That's impressive. These kids now are going to have technology their entire life. You might as well learn it now.
But you're going to have to. He's
sad.
Four. Are you going to be able to block what he watches
right.
on Netflix?
Yeah, I know. I've thought about that too. But yeah, but now he's four. He should be outside running around playing, you know, chasing, getting bugs. And
bugs
all that
and bringing
crap.
Home dead frogs.
Yeah,
and
I mean, so there's a balance in there, you know, that I've got to find with him. It's like, yes, you can do the technology, but you've also got to be outside. Have some fun. You're going to be giving away passes on here or something, though.
I am. I'm going to be giving away. I haven't got them yet, so I can't give the full details. But when this gets posted, I will let you know. The new Vacation movie.
Yes.
Starring Ed Helms.
Yeah.
Is going to be coming out. And the studio has reached out to me and wants me to promote the movie on my podcast.
Excellent. It's like a reboot, right?
Yeah.
Of the original?
Yeah. Scotty is now... The son.
So this is the movie based off the son.
Yeah. Ah. So he's grown up now. And that's what they're going to go visit granddad, which is Chevy Chase. And so I'll be promoting that and giving away some tickets on the show. But it got us talking about what is vacation. This is summertime. It's vacation. We all lived for it. Like my dad, school got out the next day, 4 a.m. Seriously, I'm just not
you
joking.
Hitting the road?
Hitting the road. 4 a.m. We're all in the camper on the back of the truck,
yeah.
Going out down the highway.
Yeah. But that's good family time. Like, I will say that growing up, every summer we had trips planned, road trips planned, and like looking back on those summers, that is like some truly great family time, great memories. And I appreciate so much that my parents did that, you know, because you've got to see some really cool places. Historical places.
Right.
Just looking back, it's like, man, that was pretty special that they did that for my sister and I, you know?
Yeah, but now, see, you grew up and I grew up when we traveled and were forced to look out the freaking window.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where nowadays, you're on the iPad.
They're on the iPad. They're looking at a movie on the back of the seat.
My wife has a Yukon and it's got the DVD that comes down from the ceiling.
Isn't that just teaching them more ADD?
I will say, I'm proud to say that DVD player has never been on in the car.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Look out the window, Junior.
That's how I think I learned so much by just sitting, looking out the window and going, what kind of cow is that?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like, what's the red cow? Oh, that's a Hereford.
The whole license plate game and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, what kind of tree is that we keep driving by?
Yeah. That's an evergreen. Shut up, boy.
You know what I mean? That's where you learn stuff and not just sit there and have just shit fed to you while you... Mm-hmm.
Camping was big growing up for me. My parents had a 25-foot camping trailer that they hooked out on the back of our K5 Chevy Blazer with a 305 V8 in it.
Uh-huh.
And we pulled that camper everywhere, man. That was a majority of our summers, was pulling the camper cross country. And I can remember like the first few times taking it out and going into small, I mean, this thing's 25 foot long. They were cramming that thing into small campgrounds, small spaces. I remember one time we were going over like this little bridge and we're trying to get through and there's this metal sign hanging over a little bit and my dad caught it just close enough. And on those travel campers, there's those awnings on the side, you know, that you roll out and that gives you shade. He took that awning and ran it along that metal sign all the way down. Just tore that awning off the side of the camper. First time they'd ever taken it out. And then they got to the campground where they're supposed to be, and he cut the corner too short and like took off the whole rear back fender of the trailer. It was like one of those vivid memories. It's like, maybe we shouldn't be camping. I'm just thinking this might not be for
or
us.
Or just a smaller trailer. How many were in the family?
Right. Well, there's just four of us, but, you know, I guess they wanted room to spread out. There should be some sort of driving, like a class you got to take when you buy an RV.
Yeah,
I think.
You got to come take this class on how to turn corners.
Because they had
no experience.
None at all.
They just hook it up to the back and go, have a nice trip, sir.
Here we go. Yeah, yeah. Here you go, sir.
Did you buy the insurance? Okay, thank you, sir.
What? No. Do you need insurance for these things? No, they just hit the open road. And that Blazer, you know, I just say, you know, 305 V8. It was a 1985 Blazer. The V8, like an 85, had 100 and some horsepower. I can remember trying to go up the hill there to Eisenhower Tunnel. And the car, like, actually got hiccups. It was like, I remember my dad, like, throwing things out of the car to make it lighter. And he'd be shutting the air off. And
you just threw mom out.
He's like, out of the car. We got to get up the hill.
Meet you at the top.
And he's just, you know, the foot on the floor trying to get up. And he had one foot out the door, you know, scraping the ground trying to get up. Yeah, it's like, God, there needs to be a class when you buy an RV, you know.
There should.
Yeah.
My dad was sort of the same way. He was mostly a camper guy. Mm. But then the campers started getting bigger. It used to just fit right on the back of the truck, and then it became over the top of the truck, and then it was the section that came down from back behind
it. Slide out on the side
A little bit. The camper just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Those things impress me, too, that you just balance those giant things on the back of your pickup truck.
Why doesn't it just, like, boonks?
Yeah, or God forbid you have to take a corner fast, and that thing's going over. Yeah. You're going over at the Grand Canyon there, Griswold. You're going down. How did we do
Steve? Did you ever get any physical confrontation with family? Because my sister and I got into an actual, like, fist fight.
Fisticuffs?
Yeah, an actual fist.
She
opened the back door of the camper and threatened to jump out on the highway.
You're like, all right.
We did. My brother like, go,
do it.
go.
Why? Just, what made her so mad that she wanted to jump out of a moving camper?
It was just kids being kids in the back and teasing. And she hit me in the mouth with a baton. My sister was a twirler.
Oh, okay.
And so she hit me with a baton and busted my lip. And then my brother started egging on the whole fight even more, you know.
That's awesome.
And next thing you know, she's crying. I'm going to just kill myself. Yeah. I'm just going to jump out.
Okay. Go for it. I dare you.
See ya.
Baton your way right on out of here, girl.
But see, I don't think kids realized how death works at that point.
No, yeah,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
I think we were like, yeah, do it.
Yeah, yeah, dare you. Triple dog
dare you.
You throw your baton out the back door at her.
Chase it, bitch. You know what I mean? I don't think kids really.
No,
and then you look back
don't.
And go, wow, that was bad.
She could have died.
She could have.
That was really. And why were we riding in the back of a moving camper? That's a whole nother story there. Was it a motorhome or like the camper?
It's a camper. You just get in the back in the truck.
It's illegal.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It's not maybe now, but it wasn't then.
Yeah.
Because there was an actual window that connected the truck and
through.
The.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you can ride in the back of that.
Mm.
That's not safe.
Times have changed.
Maybe
I guess one too many kids jumped out on the highway.
One too many baton twirlers have died on these open roads.
So no physical confrontation?
No, I mean, I've got a younger sister. We fought a lot, but nothing. I can't remember ever pounding on her.
What'd you tease your sister about?
I think it was probably a proximity thing. Like, you know, he's on my side.
Quit breathing my air.
Yeah, quit breathing my air.
Stop touching me.
You know, speaking of proximity, we had this stupid dog growing up, too. It was a Cocker Spaniel named Belker.
You said cock.
Cocker Spaniel named Belker. It was named after a character on Hill Street Blues. I don't know if you remember that
TV show. I remember
the
Hill Street Blues.
So it was Belker, and the dog hated riding in the car. It was one of those that just got completely freaked out when you were riding in the car. And in that Blazer, like, there was a hump, the wheel well hump, and he would climb up on that hump next to me on the left and be and panting and freaking out and clawing at the window, and the drool coming off that dog, it would like come down in strings and hang down and then connect to his ear, because Cocker Spaniel's ears are long.
Yeah.
So there was always drool drooling down this dog, hooked to his fur, smeared across the window and getting on us kids, you know, as we're making our way to Mount Rushmore. I just remember, Belker's drooling! Dog did not travel well at all.
Yeah, my dog, this one, Moon Pie, that I have now, does not travel well. When he was younger, he would get in a ball on the floor. He would just get in a ball on the floor and, like, not move. And now that he's older, he circles in the seat. He just walks in circles until you arrive where you're going. I've never known.
That dog
yours is
bad.
The only other one I've known that hates going for a ride. You know, yeah. most dogs are like, go for a ride.
I'm in. I'm all in.
Right.
All day. Let's do it. Open the window.
Right.
No. Yeah.
Right. Mine will hear the leash and like run and hide. Like, you're not getting me in the car.
That dog needs some
therapy.
Medication, I think.
I know.
Slipping my Dramamine, I think.
I know. Did you ever do... Now, you have an older brother or sister? What do you have? What's
your
family?
Sister.
Did you torture her? Were you a torture her, like fart on your sister kind of guy? Or
No. The one thing I do remember is we were sitting in our family room one afternoon, and I don't know how old I was, probably elementary school age, and my sister was sitting there with me, and I looked at her, and I lifted my shoe up in the air, and I put my shoe right in front of her face. I said, lick the bottom of my shoe. And she was young and naive and stupid.
And she did?
Lean forward, put her tongue out, top to bottom of my shoe. To this day, I can still remember seeing, like, the bottom of the shoe was dark.
Uh-huh.
And there was a wet spot from, you know, just... Little did I know, my dad was in the kitchen, just kind of sitting back watching us.
Uh-huh.
I got a whooping after doing that, buddy.
Don't you ever make your sister lick your shoe
right.
again.
And they brought her to the sink, and they were like flushing her mouth out. And I had no idea. The big brother
bacteria.
Was watching me, too. You know, I had no idea my dad was standing there. But, yeah, I can remember her top to bottom on that shoe. Oh, yuck.
Did you ever do anything mean like that to neighborhood kids when you're, like, tell them, you know, you have that baby brother, you know, chocolate comes out their butt. You should taste it.
Nutty.
We did that to a kid.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, you
didn't. Yeah, it's like 5 years old, and they just had a new baby, and we were like, you knew this, but chocolate comes out of baby butts.
Oh, no.
You should go take...
take a little sample.
Yeah.
It's a little Costco sample.
Yeah.
Put a little tray.
Yeah. Just get you a little...
milk lemonade.
Got in trouble for that one.
Oh, dude, that's nasty. Mm-hmm. That is nasty.
But that's the kind of stuff that kids used to do.
Oh, yeah, they used to do
it. Kids. I don't think kids are allowed to be kids anymore.
Uh-uh.
If you did something like that, you'd be in therapy. The kid be in therapy. You would be on a list somewhere.
Some sort of
medication.
No, it's not ADD. It's just being a kid. Settle down. So what about you? I mean, did you travel a lot when you were a kid? Or
we did. Every summer was a vacation. I mean, that was – Dad lived for the vacations. And most of them were to Colorado. That's one of the reasons I moved here because I never could figure out why my family wanted to go vacation every summer. Why don't you just go live where you want?
Oh, there you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't. We go to Colorado every summer. Why don't you just go live there if you love it? And that's what made me move up here. It's like, I love this so much. I don't know why we don't just –
Yeah, just be here.
Be here.
Permanently.
Yeah.
Do you have any places that stick out in your mind besides Colorado that you guys travel to?
We used to do a lot of Galveston stuff. Go to the beach in Galveston. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I loved the beach.
Is that near there's like a boardwalk down there or something? Is that where that's at?
Yeah. Have you been down there
No,
before?
I haven't. I have friends that live down there. They say we need to come down.
Gorgeous boardwalk.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The beach is not, you know, it's the Gulf. It's the Gulf of Mexico.
Uh-huh.
It's not really that spectacular of a beach.
Right. But weather's nice.
Yeah, but it's still the beach.
Things to do.
Yeah.
Shark attacks at a minimum. Shark attacks down there.
Exactly. Is it North Carolina where those are happening like crazy?
Yeah. My parents were big, I think I said earlier, on going to historical places growing up. And we went to so many Civil War battlefields and like we went to D.C. and Monticello and Mount Vernon.
But you're from here, though, aren't you?
We're from here. Yeah, I'm
so
from here.
So y'all would make that long-ass haul?
All the way out there, man. We'd be gone for like 2 weeks at a time. My dad was a big Civil War buff.
Yeah.
So he drug us around to
Did he wear his Confederate flag jacket all the time?
No, he didn't. I just being drug around to all those Civil War battlefields as a kid. Boring. Oh, look, another field.
Oh, yeah, because there's nothing really there.
There's nothing there.
Out across that field.
There was 10,000 Confederate soldiers here marching upon this courthouse. And I'm like, it looks like a freaking field to me.
But didn't you get to go up and look at like the display cases of where a bayonet was found in this
field? Yeah, and they had cannons randomly placed out in the middle of these fields. Oh, look, another cannon. How exciting for me in middle school to go look at a cannon in the middle of a field. How fun. Another horrible trip. I was probably the only middle school kid who was excited about going to Branson, freaking Missouri, man.
Did you hear that, Janet?
Branson, Missouri!
Oh. Do you wanted to go there?
Well, at the time, kinda.
No wonder you need to be remasculated.
I was the only kid in eighth grade who knew who Andy Williams was. All the other kids were listening to Nirvana, and I'm like, Moon River, higher than a mile. No wonder I didn't have a girlfriend growing up, man. Like, Andy Williams.
I loved Andy Williams.
Oh.
You used to watch the show all the time.
I got his greatest hits CD.
Do you?
Can't help but loving you. Do, 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 do,
it's all I want to do, no matter what I want to do.
Bump, bump.
Keep on loving you.
I was in eighth grade singing that crap.
I have to admit,
I'm surprised I'm straight.
Right over there. I am too, really. But right over there in my 8-track player, in that box, I have Jim Nabors. I think I may have Andy Williams.
Golly.
But I think I know for a fact I have two Jim Nabors.
Oh, that's awesome. Because
I used to love just that kind of music, uh-huh. That kind of just real melodic kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to crank that up later.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your dad, who controlled the radio on the trips? Now, we're talking about music. My dad controlled the radio. You weren't allowed to reach over the seat. You weren't allowed. Whoever drove was in charge of the. So, like, if my mom took over for a while, she'd put it on a different station. But kids were not allowed to pick the music.
Total opposite. We were always picking the music when we were traveling on our road trips. And I can think of numerous Disney soundtracks that my sister made us listen to. Like the entire Lion King soundtrack for miles upon miles, like to Las Vegas or something through the desert.
Like over
all over and over.
Okay,
and
okay,
over.
Speaking of Lion King, I've always wanted to know this. I have no idea what the words are.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Do you either? Like,
no.
Pizza
sauce. I don't know.
I have no I've never known exactly what
I know Hakuna Matata. I don't even, but that's it. Yeah, but the beginning of that one.
Yeah.
No idea. No idea. We should Google that later and see.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. You moron.
So what else you got on your vacation that you wanted to?
You know, it's funny. I actually took note. I knew we were going to be talking about this. So last night I kind of went through and made notes on some of our vacation things. I mean, we've been everywhere, man.
More than the Civil War reenactment?
More than the Civil War reenactment. I can think, like, I made a note here about we drove through Reno once, and it was at nighttime. And we got in late and found a hotel, and the part of town looked fine. Everything looked great. You know, we just retired, needed a hotel. Fast forward, next morning, we come out, and we're totally, like, in the ghetto. Bad ghetto. And we come out of our hotel room, and to the right, looking down, is a crime scene with a murder. There's a guy laying on the ground, covered in a sheet. The cops are out there. The guy's out there taking pictures of everything. We're like, probably should have rolled into town during the day.
And this was in Reno.
In Reno. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a man got shot in Reno.
Just to watch him die.
Just to watch him die.
What else? That's right out of the Vacation movie almost. Remember when they got lost in the ghetto in that brand new station wagon, the Clark?
Oh, yeah.
They bought that
right.
new station wagon.
Yeah.
And they pulled out of the neighborhood. It was all painted up.
Yeah.
And just like,
yeah. There's a time we were rolling through Kansas City in the trailer and the Blazer, and we got sidetracked somehow, and we ended up in straight, like, the hood. And we were the only white family driving through Kansas City on this road in this big old trailer. And around us is like, you know, you're looking out your window. And we're like, we shouldn't be here.
Y'all might as well just painted dollar signs on the side. And just
There was like, you know, crosses in the road with flowers on it. And people were looking at us like, you don't belong here. Mm-hmm. And I remember my dad reaching under the seat, grabbing his pistol and putting it like up on the console.
He was that nervous.
He was like, I'll just have this handy just in case, trying to get through town with our very white family.
Because y'all are like,
there's me waving out the window. Hi, everybody. We're in Missouri. Hi.
On the way to Branson.
We're going to Branson. You guys hear of Andy Williams?
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Well, yeah, we love him. Doesn't he sing Moon River?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
We love
Dad, we're safe.
They love Andy.
They love Andy.
Turn it. Roll the windows, Dad. Turn it up.
Crank it.
Moon River. Now, speaking of which, we just take this down a little different path.
Yeah.
You were telling an honest story. This is an honest thing from your past.
Yeah.
Now, how many people go, well, you know, that's so wrong to be like judging, you know, somebody's neighborhood. You're judging people's neighborhoods.
It was scary.
I know, but that's what in this day and age, isn't it? We've all become so like somebody's probably going to be offended that we talked about. You know?
No. Come on.
No.
You think?
I don't know. That's one of those things. Like
we were scared.
We've gotten so touchy in this day and age.
Not me.
But you should be like, look, I wear Beats headphones. I'm like everybody else.
I do. I like my Beats headphones. They little too bassy though. Little too bassy for my white tender ears. Little much.
Did you were you a radio guy on your vacation? Now here's for me. I would lay with an AM radio and just turn the knob and try to find any local station that we were driving through.
No.
So you weren't into radio yet at that point?
No, not yet. Not at all. I didn't even think I was going to get into radio growing up. I went to school for communications and broadcasting, but I thought I would get into some TV stuff. Or I attempted some modeling at one point in my life.
I saw some of those pictures.
I attempted some modeling. That's a horrible idea.
Hand on the chin pictures?
Olin Mills or, yeah. No, it's that wasn't for me. That was not for me. But when I was dating my wife, she heard an ad on the radio station that I'm working on now, Mix 100, that they were looking at the time for a technical producer. And just on a whim, I threw my resume in. And I was at the time kind of disgruntled because I had been looking for a job for a while and I couldn't find one. So on my resume, on my cover letter, I wrote something like, you know, you probably won't even be hiring me, so why don't you just use this resume as some toilet paper? It was something to that effect.
Yeah.
Like I just said,
and then look, he's got a sense of humor.
2 days later, I got a call. I was like, hey, can you come in for an interview? And I interviewed, and I've been at Mix now for 11 years. So.
Were you directly – was it strictly technical at first?
Or yeah, it was all behind the scenes, making commercials, doing the – you know, putting like the morning show, like editing up.
You're right.
Doing things for the morning show. On the website.
How long until you actually got on air? They said, hey, what do you think of this,
yeah,
Jeremy?
Yeah, it was just, you know,
one of those kind of
– yeah, maybe – half a year into it. Yeah, I started kind of dabbling in the, you know, they'd start bringing me in and I'd be talking about dating life and things like that. And, you know, just kind of progressed up and now the name's on the show at the bottom, but it's the name's on the show. yeah, I'm having a blast, man. Radio's fun.
What did you think you wanted to do when you were a kid? If radio wasn't your goal, like I knew all my life I wanted to do humor.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know how. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, I want to be a comic or I want to be a cartoonist. It just, I knew I liked humor and I wrote jokes and came up with ideas. So,
TV. I thought for sure I'd be on some sort of TV show doing something. You know, a lot of kids, this is funny because I was ragging on my son for not being outside, but when I had friends over, we stayed inside and shot videos. Well, I guess we went outside and shot videos too, but we...
You made many movies?
We made movies. We got out the old VHS camcorder, put it on the tripod, and we made movies.
Yeah.
Man, I have stacks of VHS tapes. We did like a parody on Wayne's World. We did Nerd's World, and we dressed up as nerds, and we did all these nerdy things on it.
Why isn't this shit on YouTube?
I need to dig it. Well, I don't have a VHS player anymore.
I might have one down in the basement.
Just dust it off and fire these things up. But yeah, it's just stacks of those movies. I'd recreate Saturday Night Live bits on there. You know, I grew up in the era of Chris Farley and Phil Hartman and stuff on Saturday Night Live, and I'd recreate those bits. I'd do like fighting movies, ninja fighting movies. So I always thought I'd go somewhere to movies or TV.
How did you not end up a YouTube person? Because
I ask myself that every day.
Because you would have been perfect for that, doing those movies.
Right.
And that's what I see now when I watch YouTube. I've become a YouTube fanatic.
Yeah.
Love YouTube. And everybody that I'm watching, they were doing that from the very beginning. Like,
right.
they understood how YouTube worked. So they just started
putting their
movies up online. And
yeah, somewhere along the line, my creativity got killed. Sometime during college, I think. But no, I should go back and start doing that because I kind of feel like that's where my heart is, my passion,
yeah,
my creative mind when it comes to that. So I don't know. Maybe you and I can do something.
There is a great movie out right now. It's called Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl. And if you haven't seen it, check it out. But there's these two guys that make movies. That's what they do. They want to be filmmakers, and they do all these parodies, kind of like what you were saying.
Yeah.
They do parodies of movies, and they kind of get talked into making a movie for this girl that's sick. And they want to make the movie to cheer her up.
Is she the one dying?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But
does she die at the end?
I can't tell you.
Okay,
that's sort of the that's sort of the twist of the whole of the movie.
Oh, okay,
because maybe just the title is about a sick girl. But it's a very good movie. But okay. It's the same thing. These kids in high school, they just run around constantly with cameras. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're making movies, and they produce them themselves. Yeah. And
were you a theater nerd at all? Because I was too. I was Best Actor 1998. Don't want to brag.
Were you really?
Yeah, I got a little trophy, a little actor's trophy. But I was a thespian. I was a theater geek in high school.
You kind of look like a thespian.
Yeah, I was did a little stage crew. Uh-huh. I looked dressed all in black, very slimming.
I did one play when I was a kid. I was the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, and then after
oil can.
If I only had a heart.
Oil can! That was the lion that needed the heart, right?
Yeah.
No, the Tin Man needed the heart.
Yeah, Tin Man needed a heart. Yeah. Lion needed courage.
And a haircut. All
and right. The Scarecrow needed a brain.
Right.
That was the... But after that, I got into the theater part of it of just doing sets, because I was an artist.
And yeah, yeah.
So that became my... They're like, could you paint us the sets? Could you paint this? Could
oh
you?
God, not again.
Right. So I got into that side of it and out of the acting side of it. But I always enjoyed the acting mm-hmm. part of it.
Yeah, me too.
But one thing, we'll talk about acting here for a second. My acting, I wrote and sold a script to Disney years ago.
Oh, really?
And Disney put me in acting classes to learn how to be me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And
just this little story called Aladdin. No big deal.
Yeah. No, it's called Trailer Trash was actually the name of the show that I sold them. But they did. They seriously put me in acting classes. They go, yeah, we know you're stand up and we know you're comfortable and we know you can do this. But we want you to be you on camera.
So you became Trailer Trash.
Yes.
Which you've carried on for
forever.
Like 50 years
look around
now.
This room.
You are total trailer. The classes worked.
Yeah.
Thanks, Disney.
Yeah. So I took the classes there in L.A., and the show didn't get off the air, or didn't make it. So when I moved back to here, to Denver, I started taking acting classes here. It was called the Actors Studio. Bill Smith. He told me, and the same thing the Disney coach told me, is that I take good direction, that I'm very good at direction. Just tell me what you want me to do. And that's different than auditioning. I suck at auditions. Like when you walk into a cold piece of paper.
Right, with your monologue ready.
Your monologue ready and...
I am the modern major general.
Were you good at this at that stuff?
Yes,
The
monologue stuff, I was. I actually had an agent here in town. Not an agent, an agent.
Were you Donna Baldwin or
I
Big
was
Fish?
Donna Baldwin, yeah. For many years, I did TV commercials. And
yeah, I'm with Maxim here.
Oh, you still are?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I thought about getting back with... Nobody cares. But
they
yeah.
do. Because people hear this, they think... Because I think that's one of the reasons I got... I think I told you this. I got the audition for Walking Dead about a year or so ago,
yeah.
just out of nowhere.
Yeah,
because they saw
something
my YouTube.
They liked.
It was YouTube.
Okay. Yeah,
they saw me. So this kind of stuff, you never know when people go, "Hey, that guy sounds good. Hey, that guy has a good."
Yep. Yeah, I need to get back into doing some of that stuff. I think it's like a whole creative thing.
Right.
Keeping it creative.
You got to keep coming up with something and doing things.
I feel so stagnant at times. You know, just stale. No, that's why I'm here.
Do you have a monologue still?
Still feeling pretty stale.
Do you still have it memorized?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Me neither.
It was something like, I am the very model of a modern major general. Animal, vegetable, something and mineral. It was like this whole spiel.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
Well, the monologue, I never could get down. Seriously.
Well, I suck at memorizing.
I never got good.
Well,
that's where I was going to go with this. I suck at memorizing.
Which is funny because you're a stand-up freaking comic and that's what you have to do.
Yeah, but it's words that I've written and I'm able to change those words at any point.
Right. You're like in the moment.
In the moment, I'll change I'll say this the way I want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of like in acting class, they'll tell you, just know the thread. Know where you need to get to. And then there's other directors that'll tell you, you didn't say this, you left that line out.
Yeah, but did I accomplish the scene?
Did I accomplish the scene? Did it work? Yeah, but that's not what the writer had it. So there's all of that. But I would rather just have somebody, especially when you're doing TV,
mm-hmm.
just go say this line.
Ad-lib it, yeah. Like Curb Your Enthusiasm is like 90% ad-libbing through that show.
Right.
That's what I love about that, because you never know, and then you could play off each other.
Like a jewel just pops out of your mouth.
Yes, exactly. I love that. That's funny. I didn't know you didn't like memorizing.
Well, I'm horrible
with your career.
I'm horrible at it. I'll sit and look at a script over and over and over.
Going back to career movement. Like, I don't know if I could be on TV like a newscaster or something, because you got to sit there and read that scrolling script through the entire newscast. And it's, you know, the same story 15 freaking times.
Yeah.
Where being on the radio, you're just boom, 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 ad-libbing. Your mind just keeps moving through those conversations. What's the zinger? What am I going to say next? You know, yeah. That's the fun part of radio.
Yeah. And it's right then, like you said, it's in the moment, it's done. So yeah. So when you get called in, or I would get called into a meeting afterwards, and they go, "Ah, why? I don't think we should do that again." Well, I probably won't. It probably just got said.
Yeah.
And we moved on.
And then you ad lib a throat punch, right in the face.
Yeah.
See ya.
Punch out.
Nah. Yeah.
That's something I think a lot of DJs don't know how to do.
Yeah.
Is punch out.
Yeah. Like, know when to end it.
Like, know when to, like, that. Yeah. You're not going to top that joke.
Yeah.
Even if this break is short.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Boom. Done. Out.
That was
Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, when you do radio for a living, I don't do a lot of other shows, like, on normal local radio.
Uh-huh.
I listen to competitions sometimes just to kind of see what they're doing, but I'm throwing on podcasts 90% of the time.
I'm a big podcast guy, and I think that's where people are headed, and not in a bad way. I think you're still going to get music in the radio, and you're still going to get look. But I think podcast is like what we're talking about right now would never.
I love the
free form.
Yeah, just train of thought. You don't know where you're going to end up, and I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
And it's very voyeuristic, I think, too. You're listening in on people's lives. It's like, what are they going to say next?
Yeah.
And what have they been up to?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that happens on this podcast is that there's this, almost this running drama of things that you'll talk about. I remember last week I was at such and such, and we went to camping, and people were like, well, what happened? I didn't
–
did y'all ever do that thing?
Yeah,
What used to happen when I was at KYGO, the country station.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to do a running soap opera. It was every day you wanted to end on something that they go – well, I got to tune in tomorrow to find out what happened on that date.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it wasn't just these pieces of like, hey, did you see Dancing with the Stars?
No.
I always felt like there's two things that happened with Dancing with the Stars.
People danced.
Yeah.
And people got voted off.
Right. Okay. Four things.
All right. Okay.
People danced. Uh-huh. People got voted off.
Okay.
The other were people already watched it because they're fans.
Yeah.
Or people didn't watch it because they don't give a shit.
Right. Exactly.
So who are you talking to?
Right.
If they already saw
three people, probably. That are like, oh my God, what happened? I missed it.
Yeah.
You got three people.
So does that make sense to you?
That's why I used to,
in meetings, we'd have meetings like that. Like, well, I don't understand why we're recapping what people already saw. Because if they're anything like me, they're like, I fucking know it. I already know it.
And then anymore, too, it's like you get everything on your phone. Even if you didn't see it or whatever, you're scrolling through and you've already got it in like 4 minutes when you wake up in the morning. And the first thing you do is grab your phone and look at it because you have no life.
Right. So that's probably the problem with the tease these days.
Yeah.
People go, we'll tell you what happened on Dancing with the Stars.
I already know what happened.
We come back.
I already saw it.
All right. I know. That's...
Well, let me plug some of the stuff where they can find me again.
Oh, please do.
So, again, it's Dom in the Morning with Emily and Jeremy on Mix 100.3. I'd love it if you guys tuned in every morning. It's here local in Denver, Monday through Friday. We're on the air from like 5:30-ish to about 9:15-ish every morning. You can follow me on Facebook. You can search me. It's just under Jeremy Padgett. And then on... which is weird. Did you see that Facebook changed my Facebook name?
I did.
It was Jeremy on the Radio on Facebook now, but they put my real name in.
So you didn't change
that? I didn't
that.
Do
Remember,
that.
I hit you up with, hey, when it happened?
Yeah,
I was trying to find
that.
You that day.
I don't know why. But anyway, so it's Jeremy Padgett on Facebook, and then on Twitter, it's Jeremy on DA Radio. Jeremy on the Radio.
I still like, shut up, Jeremy.
Shut up, Jeremy is my Instagram account.
Oh, that's so where it is. I knew that somewhere.
Yeah.
I saw, shut up, Jeremy.
Yeah, so friend me, like me, favorite me, whatever, and listen to the show. It's fun. We need all the listeners we can. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Now, little topic of the day, the whole thing about the Confederate flag and the Dukes of Hazzard and canceling the show.
I don't care.
You don't care?
I really don't.
Are we going too far, though?
Well, of course we are, but I really don't care. I'll be honest with you. I do not care. I think a majority of people don't care. They really don't care. Because for us, we're in Colorado. Like,
right.
We don't care what's happening in the South.
But do you think if you don't care, then the ripple effect finally gets to us and overcomes us? Do you think that's how does that personally affect you? Like, you always
hear
that. How does that personally affect you? Well,
it doesn't.
Maybe at this point it doesn't.
How's it going to affect me?
It's sort of like I was telling Janet, they want to get rid of the flag on the Capitol, and I was okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's the government building. And then it's like, let's get rid of them out of Walmart. And then it's...
Now it's the Dukes of freaking Hazzard.
And then it's the Dukes of Hazzard. And now it's the guy, the mayor of Memphis, wants to dig up Confederate generals.
I saw that and like move them or dump them in the ocean or
right.
something.
Right. Do you see? But that's the progression of like, at what point do you go, just shut up and sit down?
I don't care.
So that's what I was telling her about the NRA. Like people, why can't the NRA give? Because you can't give anybody an inch.
Right.
You can't. You go like, okay, I'll give you that. Well, then I want this, and then I want that.
I don't care. I just don't care. But bottom line, I do not care.
But that's part of what the remasculate to me is like a standing, like our dads would have been, that's bullshit. Like, right. I know my dad.
Right.
He'd have been yelled at the TV. Like,
My dad still does that. He talks to the TV, yeah. You know what really concerns me is, you know, the best fried chicken in town. That is where my head is at. I will let them deal with the Confederate flag.
And I'm okay with that, too.
I will tell you, we had some delicious Popeye's chicken for lunch, and that's where my head is wrapped around right now, is that delicious, crispy, spicy chicken.
Oh, God, that was so good. And I have to say this, and Janet, Miss Thang, will appreciate this, because I've always been a white meat guy. I love white meat.
Yeah, I've seen your girlfriend.
Love.
Very white.
Very white. But she loves like thighs and wings, and that's so we buy chicken. Mm-hmm. I eat the white meat, and she does dark meat. Well, today when he got chicken, they had nothing but dark meat.
Right.
It was delicious.
Delicious dark meat chicken. I didn't know you didn't like it. Yeah, I went to Popeye's and the guy's like, we're out of white meat, spicy chicken. If you want to stick around for 30 minutes, we'll have a dude delivery coming in. That's exactly how he sounded, too. I was like, I'm not sitting here for 30 minutes waiting for you to get frozen chicken in on a semi-truck.
Because then they how much longer meat. After it gets there.
Right, and then they got to cook it and thaw it and cook it and batter it and whatever they do, spit on it and put it in the fryer. So yeah, I got all dark meat, and man, I've been on a fried chicken kick lately. I don't know what it is.
What was
it's my kryptonite, man.
Was it because you read it was fried chicken day or month?
Right, wasn't that yesterday or something? It was fried chicken day or month, yeah. I don't know. I've always loved fried chicken, and I posted it on my Facebook the other day. It's like, where's the best fried chicken in town?
Yeah.
And people were just lying. White Fence Farm was on there. Highly overrated chicken.
It's good, but it's highly overrated.
Not the best chicken. Today was really good.
It was really good. And I posted on, I should tell this story. This would be good for them. You posted this, where's the best chicken?
Yeah.
I wrote Hunt's Brothers Pizza. And Janet and I go into the mountains this weekend, stopped in Fairplay, Colorado at this gas station. And there's, you know how everything now is a restaurant connected to a gas station.
Yep.
Much like Popeye's.
That's where I got my chicken.
Hunt's Brothers Pizza. And I go in there and they had Southern style wings. Southern style.
Ooh.
And she's like, well, let's try that because I don't want spicy. You know, I'm like, I don't like spicy. So I got it. Delicious.
It burns my tongue.
Delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it come with little Confederate flags?
It did not. It okay. wasn't truly Southern.
No, right.
Little Confederate flag napkins.
Ooh.
But it was really, really good.
Huh.
And so driving back after our vacation fishing trip, we go, let's stop and get some more of those wings. They were delicious.
Yeah.
Well, it turned into what you were just talking about. Well, we're out.
We got to find a box.
We got to find some. And there might be some in the back. It'll take about 15 minutes to get them ready. 40 minutes. It took 40
minutes.
40 minutes. But the wings, we drove back. Both of us look at each other, smack, and go, it's worth the 40 minutes.
You drove and ate wings at the same time?
I did.
That is impressive, my friend.
I know.
That is a greasy-ass steering wheel right there, too, I bet.
Janet actually said, I'm going to have to wet wipe my steering
wheel
when
like
we get
home.
If
there was an emergency and you had to swerve and get out of the way, not going to happen. It's like a slip and slide on your...
So is that worse than texting and driving?
Way worse, man. Sorry, officer. I had greasy steering wheel.
Wing fingers.
He's trying to turn. It's like... Yeah, I hope you clean that off.
Yeah.
That's going to stink up your car, too.
But best chicken in, besides the wing, is Welton Street Cafe.
Never had it.
I posted that on your page, too.
Okay.
It's down in Five Points.
Oh, well, I'm not going there, so I'll just have to take your word for it.
It's delicious.
Okay.
It's really, really...
I'll have to pull my pistol out from under my seat and put it on my console.
Like Janet said, what's taking so long? We went there, and she's like, what's taking so long? They make the chicken.
Authentic.
You know what I mean? They
actually make the chicken. You have to sit there and wait for the
chicken to grow out of the
egg. To grow into a chicken.
It took 14 weeks for our order to get to the table.
There's a guy in the corner. It's just a skeleton. He's still sitting there waiting. Cobwebs.
No, but they do it to order, right? You know, they cut the chicken up. Yeah. So it's delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like a total Three Stooges bit.
Yeah.
Like he comes through with the knife and the chicken in the head. And
You trusted, this is my favorite part, you trusted Facebook to give you real answers.
Those are real people on the Facebook, man.
But they don't have real answers. I did this once on Facebook. I posted, where is the best Mexican food restaurant? But the way I worded it is, where is the best place that has Mexican food that looks like you might die if you ate there?
Excellent.
That was the way I worded it.
Taco Bell.
That was the answers I was getting.
No way!
Yeah. Oh, try Three Amigos. Oh, I love margarita. Three margaritas.
How about Hacienda? Do you ever?
No. I'm getting all that. I'm like, did you fucking read what I wrote? Because I was really looking for one of those places.
Like, I'm being serious here. I want an excessive bowel movement after I eat this.
Yeah, but there were some places when I lived in L.A. that like hand-painted signs, misspelled tamale. And you're like, this is the best freaking tamale
I've
ever had.
Tacos with a C backwards. Tacos.
Yeah.
All right.
But those places sometimes have the best food.
It's like, that's truly authentic like Mexican food.
And nobody gave me a decent answer on Facebook on that post.
Taco Bell.
Yeah. They don't get it.
They don't.
People take Facebook way too seriously. In fact, I commented on something that your girlfriend wrote this morning, and the lady's like, that is so inappropriate. That's highly inappropriate. Janet, I hope you have the best day ever.
What was it? You can tell it on here.
It was something about you. She said...
She said, be happy about the small
things. Be happy
things.
About the small things in your life. And I go, oh, how is Steve's penis, by the way? And, oh, that's so inappropriate that it's just uncalled for on this kind of forum. This is not good. Children can see this. Children will see this and cry over the small penis. Size. And I just, gave the old middle finger to the computer screen and went on with my day.
That's what I love about podcasts. You're basically giving the middle finger.
Kind of.
This is just my opinion. Don't listen. Stop after this.
Right. Go on your way.
But just being able to talk about it.
How is Steve's penis size?
That was a joke, lady. It wasn't serious. Because we all know it's massive.
Massive.
Huge.
It's like the size of this microphone.
Massive. Boom. We are periscoping still, aren't we?
I kind of forgot about that
for
a minute.
I was trying to
see
how many people are on there.
You can't tell.
One, I think.
Yeah, well, they come and go a lot on Periscope. That's the other thing.
When you go look.
Hold on. He's going to check Periscope on the podcast.
Still on there?
Who's in there?
Five.
We still have five. And when we're done recording, when you stop, it'll say how many actually watched. Are you a Periscoper?
No, I've done it once or twice. I have no idea what I'm doing.
I noticed that. I watched one you held down while you were driving.
Yeah, I was like, hey, look at my feet while I'm driving.
Yeah, and some people are actually turning into Periscope stars.
Really?
Yeah, there's some people that have become
life. Can you monetize that?
Yes, you can.
Can you?
And one of the guys, I don't know who he is. He calls himself Birdman TV. He's a writer for TV. He actually did a Periscope the other day. Showing how easy it is.
Somebody said something.
Oh, it went away.
Oh. Say it again. Say it again.
What'd you say?
Post it again so you can see it real quick.
Missed it.
Nope. Nope. Not going to say it again? Oh, come on.
Come on.
For you listening to a podcast, he's trying to read the Periscope.
Wrinkled Sheets just joined.
Again? She's back? See what? She's in and out.
Hi, Janet.
All right.
Well,
that's Periscope. But he was showing, I was going to say, this guy at Birdman TV,
yeah. Keep talking.
He was saying that he was going to have people buy 30-minute blocks of his Periscope.
Oh, and just like pimp their products?
Yeah. And he would say, this portion of my Periscope is brought to you by AutoZone, that kind of stuff.
That's cool. He holds up a spark plug.
Yeah. So you know how it is. If you can find a sponsor that's willing to pay you in any way short. Because I had Pop Chips, for a long time here.
What happened?
Perky Jerk. They got too big. I seriously think that's what happened.
Yeah.
They get too big. They don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
And that when Perky Jerky first started, they were here locally, and they were all over the radio station. And then they were giving me crates of Perky Jerky to give away. And then one day,
if a sponsor were to want to get in touch with you, how would they do it?
McGrew@MSN.com or Remasculate
at Twitter.
No, you set up the
at Hotmail.com. At Gmail.
Gmail.
Remasculate at gmail.com. Yeah, you should put that out there more often.
I know, I should.
You never know what you'll get.
I actually have a Google voicemail that I need to start promoting more now. I got a Remasculate voicemail.
Oh, that's cool.
Which you can find, it'll be on the website where this is posted.
Because we
haven't talked about any of your kids stuff.
I talk about that stuff all the time.
No, but I mean, I wanted to give you a chance to really
talk. I'm more than my children, Steve.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But I wanted to give you a chance on this podcast to say, I hate my kid.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
You know what I mean?
I hate not having free time anymore. That's what I hate.
Okay.
Right?
See, but you can't.
This microphone is falling
just
down.
Just tighten it there. But that's what I was. I wanted to give you that on here.
Well, it's
because
do another
we,
one.
We all have. Doesn't mean you don't love your kid. Like I do the joke about. We all have days you feel like you just roll down the window and throw it out on the highway.
Yeah, it's true.
It doesn't mean you don't love them.
The one thing, I'll give you a little taste, and maybe we'll do another podcast on this. The thing I miss the most about pre-kid life is just going out to my car, my truck, and getting in and leaving. That simple. Leaving my house, closing the front door, getting in my car, driving away. Now, now you've got to make sure the kids are dressed and get all their things together.
Uh-huh.
And does my son have his blankie that he likes? Does he have a snack? Is he thirsty? We should bring
extra diapers.
Do you have extra diapers because we got a baby now?
Do you have clean clothes in case it leaks?
Do we have clean clothes and then the diaper bag? And our baby was a preemie, so she's still on oxygen. So we got an oxygen tank. So we got to go load all that into the car, and then you got to buckle them into the car seats and then get the baby stroller into the car seat and then try to get back in the house and make sure you have everything and lock it up. And then it's just like this it's like going on vacation every time you leave the house. It's a half an hour process to go to Best Buy, you know, and it drives me nuts. I just miss leaving.
Yeah.
Just starting my car and it's quiet in there and just going. Sometimes you got to go start the car before you leave so the air's on and it's running. So you got to let it run for like 5-10 minutes.
Cool it down so the kids don't
cool
have a heat stroke.
And then next thing you know, his snack in the back, all of a sudden his yogurt tube is, you know, crapped all over the back seat. Now I got to clean up a stinky yogurt tube that's going to sit in the sun, you know. So it's like, oh, I just miss the days where I could leave.
Well, even Janet said to me when I told her you were going to come do the podcast today, she goes, well, who's going to watch the kids?
Oh, they're on the car right now. No, I'm joking.
But that's one of those deals.
No, my wife's home watching the children. It's one of those things.
It's one of those deals.
Like, I had to plan this a couple weeks in advance with you because I needed somebody at home to watch the kids.
Yeah. So maybe we need to set this
up
at your
house. We're in two totally different worlds. Yeah, we could.
You need to set up
a little home studio. We could, man. We really could if we want to start doing
this. It's a lot easier for me to just lock the dogs up in the washroom.
Right. And you can do that. I can't. It's a freaking process. It sucks.
Is this your last kid?
Yeah, this is my last.
Are you gonna cut the pee-pee?
Currently shopping for vasectomy providers or an at-home kit or something that I can just take care of business because I'm donezo.
Really?
So done. I'm getting too old for this. I'm done.
I have not done it either. The snip part. The girlfriend has said to me, "Why don't you?"
Right.
Because she doesn't want.
And then did you
she
say,
doesn't
well,
want
why
kids.
Don't you?
I did bring that up.
Apparently, it's very non-invasive now. They go through the belly button to the fallopian tubes. So I think it's pretty routine for the ladies to do it, too.
Oh, that's a good...
Because there's a lot of side effects for the gentlemen.
Exactly.
You can't get it up.
That is a possibility.
Yeah, or you can get it up, but you can't get there. You can't have the big O, is what I hear, too.
Dust flies out.
Poof. Bye. There goes your youth.
Well, here's my deal about it. When we discussed it was because why mess with something that you don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, I don't know what makes me me. Like, what is it that makes me me when I go on stage? Somebody says, like, there's an aura. You have a fun aura about you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's why do people like you immediately when you go on stage?
Nobody ever says that. Okay.
No one ever says that to you.
No.
Okay. But that's kind of the deal. I don't know what makes me me. You know, it's why you are wired. Anything you snip is wired.
It's going to throw you off.
It's like,
are you saying it's going to throw you off your game?
I don't know.
Like your stand-up career is over because you had a vasectomy?
I'm just saying.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I didn't say it like that. I'm just saying, why would you snip a wire in the house and be amazed that you're...
Don't cut the red one!
You know what I mean?
Right, the lights go out.
Right.
Right, I see what you're saying.
That's my point. It's like,
so then with that logic, you can never have any surgery done to you. You can never have a tooth pulled or a filling filled or your hair cut or shave your beard. You can't do anything,
buddy.
Because
I don't know what...
Because it's going to throw you off your stand-up game.
Oh,
is that what Janet said to you?
No.
That's what she should have said
to you.
Shut
up, man.
I'm just worried about not getting an erection.
Well, yours is more important.
Right.
Have
that's funny. That's
have you had tiny tiny Jeremy fail on you yet?
No, not yet.
Ever?
No. So
never?
Maybe after the vasectomy, I don't know.
You have never had a fail.
Nah, no fail. Strong like bull.
Never in all
Ever.
In all
oh,
these years
crazy.
Like it starts off good and you kind of go
nope.
Maybe
nope.
No,
never. I'm like Thor, man. My hammer's working.
She said, "I'm Thor."
I'm
when you
Thor.
Got done.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm the Thor.
Thor.
Oh, Thor. Oh. But did you start the process at all, like looking for?
Yeah,
I don't.
I sorted.
It's like, where do you go? The yellow pages don't exist anywhere. I'm like on Google.
Well, I think that's one of the things you have to ask about friends.
Yeah, right.
Like, who did you use? Did it work?
Who did you go to? But the problem is a lot of my friends are kind of older, like you.
And gay.
I mean, really old and gay. And it's like some of the doctors aren't around anymore, or they've moved practices, and you're throwing a dart at the dartboard now.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Hopefully Denver Urology, you know, knows what they're doing. Over 10,000 procedures done. You know, you hope they know what they're doing at that point in time.
Now, is your penile process covered under your
insurance? I think it is. Isn't that like a preventative? Like, it wouldn't that be covered like with birth control?
So you haven't
control?
Even looked into that
I
yet.
I haven't even know. I got to find a place first.
So did the wife tell you she wants this, or did you go, nope,
no,
it.
She's like, yeah, you're doing it. You are doing it. The plan was, though, when we just had our last baby, that she was going to get her tubes tied if it was a C-section. Well, the baby came early. It was a C-section, but it was an emergency C-section because the baby wasn't moving. So through that whole process of quickly getting her to the hospital and getting her sliced and diced open and getting the baby out, nobody mentioned.
You didn't go, hey, hold on.
No, I didn't even think about it. She didn't think about it. So now it's all on me, buddy, and it's down to the wire now. Like, it needs to be done before the end of the year. Denver Urology.
And you know, you can't have sex for how long after that? Then you got
to
make sure you're shooting points.
You have to have like 30 to 40 orgasms before you're in the clear, and then you got to like drop off two or three samples.
That's like a week of masturbation for
you. It's like, yeah, yeah, right. It's like, give me 24 hours, man. I'm four, damn it. I'm out. So yeah, you got to be really careful. That's something, isn't it?
It is.
The human body.
It is.
It's such a
so
machine.
You don't believe my theory of cutting,
no, that's,
cutting the,
that's
the
funny,
don't cut
though.
The red wire.
That's funny though. I've never heard that. Because really, then you can't do anything. Have you ever had surgery or anything?
Yeah.
Well, then you've already killed your mojo, buddy. Or did it make you better? Confucius say.
Oh. Well, that's what somebody else, I think it was Kelly Ford, my old radio partner, said that when her husband got a vasectomy, they started having more and wilder sex because they weren't worried about
getting
pregnant.
You're not tied down. Yeah, you're not worried. But then like, they say there's like a little percentage of a chance that it doesn't take or that it grows back. And then you're like, ah, crap.
Can't they just put like worried. a little beer valve
yeah,
in it or something?
From what I hear, they cut it, they solder it, and then they clamp it, the tubes in there. So it's like a three-step process, like this baby ain't growing back. Like, I wonder if I can request extra tube being taken out, you know, like take it out and make a bracelet out of it or something.
Yeah,
I want that much taken out, uh-huh. And I want proof that it is like gone.
Cut it out and make a bracelet out of it.
Make a bracelet out of it, all right? Put it around a necklace or do something with it so I know that there's a big old chunk of tube out of there. It ain't growing back.
Well, maybe we could be millionaires if we just came up with some kind of insert, like a, you know, like a garden hose thing. you know what I mean?
You turn it on and off when you want
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Hold on, honey.
Sperm activated.
It's like when you hold a hose.
You crimp a hose
you crimp,
for
then
a
you
while.
Let go, and it's like... And you're pregnant.
I think I'm full. Turn off the hose here. Oh, pleasure.
Millionaires, man. Millionaires.
Thanks. Well, that's 1 hour. We made 1 hour on the show
that's
again.
Insane.
Look
it
at this.
It goes by so fast.
I know. We need to do it.
Just BSing. Wandering the open road.
I know.
It's good stuff. We should do this more often.
We should.
Yeah.
So now that you've done it and you realize, hey, it was fun again.
Yeah,
I could,
it is
I could
fun,
do
man.
This.
Well, thanks for having me. It's nice of you to let me come on and promote the radio station.
You promote anything you want to.
Yeah. Mix 100 Denver.
Yeah. One more time.
Okay. Mix 100 Denver. Find us at mix100.com. The morning show is Dom in the Morning with Emily and Jeremy. Find us on Facebook. Dom in the Morning with Emily and Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
Search me, Jeremy Padgett. Twitter, @ Jeremy on Duh Radio. And Instagram.
You do.
Shut up, Jeremy.
You do have some good tweets, but you do need to tweet more.
I do need to tweet more. I'm trying to work on that. I actually gained like 100 followers in the past day just because I've been following more people and tweeting more. And I just need to get on the social media bandwagon a little bit more,
do you,
I think.
are you a – I think I've talked about it on here before, but people don't understand Twitter.
Yeah.
That's why I think Twitter has maybe a few more smarter people than Facebook.
You really have to work
Twitter. You have to
Twitter.
Work Twitter.
You do.
Like somebody said, I tweeted once and nothing happened.
I just ate a sandwich. You're like, well, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Yeah. And if you're not following anybody, nobody saw it.
Right.
That's the other thing people don't understand. I tweeted and nothing happened because you tweeted to nobody.
Nobody.
You have to have followers. And part of that is you have to interact. Like you said, you followed back.
Yes.
They followed you.
Right.
You follow 100 people, they follow you.
And then they see who that person followed.
Yeah, and then they retweet you on Friday, you know, follow back Friday.
Right.
And you grow an audience.
It's
and
a
I don't think
process,
people.
It man.
Is.
It is.
And I don't think people understand that. Like, I don't get it. I don't, you know.
So, Jeremy on DA Radio.
And please.
I'll follow back.
Yeah, please do. Always follow back.
Yeah.
Thanks, Corn Boy.
Yeah, dog.
Later.
Later, dude.
God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.
A douche.
Well, thanks for listening to the podcast. You made it all the way through, and now here's how you could win a pair of VIP tickets to the Denver screening of the new Vacation movie starring Ed Helms and Christina Applegate. What you want to do is send me an email to McGrew@MSN.com. That's McGrew@MSN.com, and I'll get you that VIP pair of tickets to see the new Vacation movie. All right, you got it? Send me a request at McGrew@MSN.com. That's for Denver screening only. That's right, Denver screening only. It's an advanced screening on Thursday, July 23rd. I hope you can make it. If you can make it to a screening on July 23rd in Denver, hit me up for your pair of VIP tickets. McGrew@MSN.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on Remasculate.